This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Ed Murphy joins me on the program. He is an astronomer at the University of Virginia. And Ed, not only the anniversary of Thomas Jefferson's birth, but also a special anniversary of at the University of Virginia, the dedication of the new observatory. Is that right?
That's right. McCormick Observatory was dedicated 125 years ago tomorrow.
And that's up on what used to be called Mount Jefferson. It's now called Observatory Hill. No offense to you, Ed, but my hope is that one day UVA will return that name to Mount Jefferson. I think that would be very cool. But
well, I think it's actually that it raises an interesting question. I don't know that it was ever officially called Observatory Hill. I think that's the name that the students use for it, and they certainly call the dining hall the Observatory Hill Dining Hall. But I'm still, my understanding is that the mountain is still officially Mount Jefferson.
Oh, no, so. Isn't that nice? How about that? Well, you made my dream come true, Ed, on the program in real time. How about that?
Excellent.
So give us the backstory to the observatory. Who's Leander McCormick? Why does he give this thing to UVA? And it opened in what, 1885, right?
It was dedicated on April 13th in 1885, and when on the night it was dedicated, it was the largest telescope in the United States and the second largest telescope anywhere in the world. It's got two glass lenses in it. The glass lenses are 26 inches across from side to side, and that's what made it the largest telescope in the United States at the time. The one larger telescope in the world was in Vienna, Austria, and it had a lens that was 27 inches across at the time of the dedication.
So who is Leander McCormick?
Leander McCormick is the brother of Cyrus McCormick, and most of us, or those that grew up in Virginia, probably know quite a bit about Cyrus. He's a famous Virginian. He's credited with inventing the Reaper, which is a machine for harvesting wheat crops.
Which was revolutionized food production around the world, and they're from down there in Rockbridge County near Lexington.
Exactly right. And what's interesting about that story is that Leander McCormick vehemently denied that his brother invented the Reaper. In fact, he claimed it was their father, Robert McCormick, who invented the Reaper sometime earlier, but gave the Reaper to Cyrus McCormick when Cyrus came of age, and then Cyrus was a brilliant company manager, business manager, and was what really made the Reaper a success. But Leander claims it was his father who actually invented it.
Uh-huh.
And mostly Cyrus is known as the inventor because he was the one who built up the company, and his name appears on the patent for the Reaper. But at least because Leander McCormick donated the observatory, we still tell Leander's side of the story,
right,
which is that their father, Robert, invented the Reaper initially, tested the first model of it, and that Cyrus simply made improvements to it, but then capitalized on the business end.
Interesting. We're talking with Ed Murphy, astronomer at the University of Virginia. Leander McCormick Observatory celebrating its birthday, in addition to Thomas Jefferson, on the morrow, tomorrow, Tuesday, April 13th. So what was the motivation? Well, first let me ask, where did Leander get his money, and what's the motivation for him to give an observatory? What's his interest in astronomy?
So Leander got his money by working for his brother in the McCormick Harvester Company. Leander McCormick ran the factory in Chicago. He himself was a bit of an inventor and made a number of mechanical improvements to the Reaper. So he got his fortune from working with his brother. We're not sure why Leander wanted to donate a large telescope to his home state of Virginia. That we know of, he wasn't particularly interested in astronomy. We do know, though, that during the Civil War, a group of philanthropists in the city of Chicago, where Leander McCormick was based at that time, gave the largest telescope in the world to Chicago University, which no longer exists, but the telescope itself is now at Northwestern University in Chicago. And it's likely that McCormick was in the same social circles as these donors to the telescope to Chicago, and after the Civil War wanted to give a large gift to his home state of Virginia, probably wanted it to be larger than the one that was given to the Chicago University, and started looking around for someone who could provide him with a very large telescope.
And this was the second observatory at the University of Virginia, right? Well, there was another one, a small brick building near the foot of the lawn, right?
That's right. So there was where Dawson's Row is today, there was a small observatory called Patterson's Observatory that was named after an early professor at UVA, and that was where students would do some observations with telescopes and clocks down here.
And tell us, you know, 1885, the observatory opens up on Mount Jefferson. Any major research there in the last few years, the 19th century and first years of the 20th?
In 2004, McCormick Observatory was named to the National Register of Historic Places of National Significance because of the research that was carried out there beginning in 1914 and continuing up until the early 1990s. And that research was measuring the distances to the nearby stars. And they do that by taking a picture of a star today, and then taking a picture about 6 months later, and then 6 months after that, and 6 months after that. And because the Earth is on opposite sides of the sun, when we take pictures 6 months apart, we're seeing the star from two different perspectives. And the stars appear to shift back and forth in the sky because of this change in perspective, and the size of that shift tells us the distance to the stars. People are familiar with this because this is how you use the two eyes in your head to measure distances to things. When you hold your finger in front of your face and look at it with your left eye and then your right eye, you're seeing it from two different perspectives, and you use that to measure distances. So the astronomers use this technique to measure the distances to nearby stars, and as of the early 1990s, about a third of all stars whose distances were known accurately were measured here at McCormick Observatory.
I never knew that. Really? Right here in Charlottesville?
Right here in Charlottesville. And in fact, that was a major... They got into the program of measuring distances to nearby stars because in the early part of the 20th century, the second director, Samuel Alfred Mitchell, saw that astronomy was about to undergo a revolution where astronomers for the first time were really understanding the physics of how stars work. But in order to figure out the detailed properties of stars, an essential thing to know was their distances. And at that time, there were only a few hundred stars whose distances were known. And he realized that astronomers really needed to know the distances to many, many more stars.
That's really amazing. So all over the world, when we talk about distances to stars and they're logged, most of those numbers came from the McCormick Observatory in Charlottesville.
That's right. There were four main observatories that did it, and McCormick was responsible for about a third of the measurements.
That's really great. How about that? We're talking with Ed Murphy of UVA. Now, just to sum this up, there's also a new observatory at UVA at Fan Mountain, which I've only seen from the foot of the mountain there. I used to rent a house at the base of the mountain, and it really is amazing up there. Really a big facility. When did that open?
So that's open twice a year, once in October and once in April, and our April public night was actually just last Friday night. So the next opportunity people will have to go down to Fan Mountain Observatory will be in October.
And that's used by folks at UVA, and can other folks from around the country sign up for it, you know, researchers?
No, it's primarily used by folks here at the University of Virginia for doing our research. We can no longer do research at McCormick Observatory, in part because the telescope is old, but primarily because the light pollution that we have from Charlottesville and Albemarle County. There's now so much light pollution on the grounds of the university that we can't see the faint objects that are required to do cutting-edge research. So in the 1960s, they built Fan Mountain Observatory. The first telescope was dedicated in the mid-1960s, and then the large 40-inch telescope was dedicated in the early 1970s. And both of those telescopes are used for research today. And Fan Mountain, because it's down near Covesville, about 15 miles south of Charlottesville, it's still dark enough to do research down there.
Yeah, it's beautiful down there. Well, Ed, before we let you go, there's not enough light pollution to block out some pretty cool things that are going on in the night sky right now. Like just in just a few hours, folks have a nice show to look at, right?
That's right. So right now there are a bunch of planets that are visible in the nighttime sky. The easiest one to see is go out right after sunset, about a half hour to 45 minutes after the sun sets, and you will see brilliant Venus shining in the western sky. If you have a very, very clear western horizon where Venus is, and that means no trees or anything, if you look to the lower right of Venus, you might see Mercury. And then also up in the sky, almost straight overhead, is Mars, and then high up in the eastern sky is Saturn. So there are a total of four planets visible right now. Mercury is really hard to see over there by Venus, but you might be able to catch it for the next few nights, but then it'll be gone.
There you go. Ed Murphy, an astronomer with the University of Virginia. Ed, thank you for the update and congratulations on the anniversary of McCormick Observatory.
Well, thank you very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.